For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Derry Show is on the air.
We're living in the age of the offense industry. Every day, social justice warrior types find a new reason to get upset about something. Considering the high likelihood that people will be mad about practically anything we say these days, we would like to issue the following public apologies.
We apologize to Canada for naming the bad bacon after your country.
We apologize to tall people for making seats on airplanes so uncomfortable.
And we apologize to you short people for charging you the same price for airline tickets as we do for tall people.
We apologize to Germany for giving you too much David Hasselhoff.
We apologize to redheads for all the ginger jokes. You didn't deserve that. Also blonde women.
We apologize to fans of the Batman comic book series for allowing Ben Affleck to take the lead role.
We apologize to the Japanese for making you the most technologically advanced country in the history of the planet. And also the atomic bomb thing.
We apologize to crazy cat ladies for mocking your lifestyle choice. It's not your fault you can't find a husband, and you smell like cat litter.
We apologize to Monica Lewinsky for making fun of you when we should have been making fun of Bill and Hillary.
We apologize to Djibouti for laughing every time we say the name of your country.
And come to think of it, we apologize to your capital city of Djibouti for laughing when we say your name too.
We apologize to Australia for constantly thinking the Bee Gees were from England.
And finally, we apologize to Niger for all the rednecks who constantly mispronounce the name of your country. That was in poor taste, and we're better than that.
Oh yeah, for those of you who don't speak English, here are some apologies in your native tongue. Spanish.
Lo siento.
Japanese.
Come nasai.
Italian.
Mi dispiace.
Serbian.
Zau mi jay.
Persian.
Squiggly lines read backwards.
And finally, Klingon.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. So sorry. That I was.
You know, the other thing I'm surprised about when I look at the trends that cut, when you read 1,000 emails at a time of what people do, you notice trends start popping out. And one of them is how many of our listeners have transitioned to working at home. And about half of them are not related to COVID. About half of them have been doing this for 10 years or so. And I'll tell you where a real, real common one is that people are working for a company and that company has two divisions and they realize, you know what? This division over here is not making any money. So they sell that off and they wind down and they scale back their office space or their industrial space or whatever else. And this person stays on almost like a consultant. And, you know, they're 55 years old and they say, I don't want to go look for a new job. I've saved my money, which is key. I have no debts any longer. Let me just ride this thing and I'll work with them for a year from home. And if it doesn't work, I'll go to work somewhere else. But since a lot of our economy is value added that does not require a physical presence, this is an increasing percentage of our economy. Information exchanges, headhunters, recruiters, consultants, a lot of these people realized they don't need to go to an office. And if you don't need to go to an office, and you don't want to go to an office, why would you go to an office? Because then you got to get out there in the traffic. You got to drive down the roads with all the school moms blocking up the roads. Because they have to drop their kids at school. The kid has to go to school, right? If they're not going to homeschool, they have to go to the physical facility. But if you don't have to be out in it, So you've got a number of people now who are working from home, and almost everybody I talk to who begins working from home and really invests emotionally in working from home, that is, takes the guest room and makes that an office. I don't mean they work from the kitchen table and they go, yeah, too many noises coming. You know, the kids get home from school, I can't get any work done. If they make an office at home that's like an office they would have had, that's their space that they can go into, and when you walk into it, you're working. When you walk out, you close the door and work is done. That is a vast part of our audience. It also means, because they're working at home, they can blare our show. They can play our show with nobody saying, turn that down, or being offended. And so maybe it's not that it's that big a part of the economy. Maybe that's just part of the demographic that is our show. I don't know. But I do notice more people working from home doing things that you wouldn't expect anymore. I had a woman, I can't remember if it was Hertz or Budget or Dollar, but she was pretty high up in one of the car rental companies. And she doesn't go to an office anymore. She works from home, and it was a vice presidential. I mean, it was a vice president level. I'm guessing she probably made $200,000 a year, and she works from home and couldn't be happier. And the reason was they were moving offices, and she said, well, now that we're moving office buildings, I don't want an office in the new building. And that was that. They don't have it. And a lot of people in managerial, I have a sister-in-law who is like a regional for, used to be Auto Shack. It'll always be Auto Shack to me. You remember Auto Shack? And I think Radio Shack sued them. And the funny thing, the funny thing is Radio Shack went out of business and Auto Zone is still in business. I wonder if Auto Zone called them up and was like, oh yeah. Hey, remember when we couldn't be Auto Shack because Radio Shack already had the Shack market cornered? Well, Radio Shack has gone to, you're not around anymore. So guess what we're doing? We're not going back to Shack. In case you were wondering, we're still AutoZone. It cost us too much money to flip over. But she doesn't go to an office. She goes to, I don't know how many stores she's got, 20 stores. She just every day gets up, goes to a store, goes in. How are things looking? How's the store look? Store's clean. Bathrooms look great. How are the employees? Everybody up on their HR? Everything good? Any questions you have? How can we help you with your life? Boop, boop, on. And her husband also does not go to an office. He works for one of the cell phone companies, maybe Verizon, but I'm not positive. You know, I think it is Verizon. And what he does is he does the facilities for Verizon. If you're Verizon, you got, I don't know how many thousand stores across the country. And so if they're building a new Verizon store, he's the one that, all right, here's the specs, here's this, here's how we do this. You know, you get it down after a while. All right, we need this many phones. I mean, like you have to have actual phones. We need, you know, bathroom. We need this, and then this kind of space. And we got to have doors that lock this way, and we got to have an employee system here. And then there's always repair and maintenance on the facility. So he also doesn't go to. So they basically live on the road, both of them, good jobs. And you don't get a college degree in those things. I can't tell you how many of my listeners, and I think somebody that doesn't have a college degree but does do well in life generally has a little different mindset than a person with a college degree. I have found that to be the case. They have they're a little bit more humble, or humble, if you like, Ramon. They're a little more humble. And they're a little bit grittier. Just a little. Don't get your feelings hurt with your Aggie degree. I'm just telling you. They're just a little more humble and a little more able to get over the hump that maybe other people couldn't.
This is the Michael Berry Show.
People say that I found
book guy, Forgotten Lore Bookshop, Zach that owns that. He sends me an email every morning on the books he sold yesterday and kind of an update on the business, a one-man business. And I love these little updates. There's several businesses that send these to me. And he sends me, every day he sends it, and most days I don't respond, but if there's something that catches my attention, I'll ask a question or make a comment. And so he said, and he'll tell me the most expensive book, this was my request, the most expensive book he sold the day before. And he said, the most expensive book I sold yesterday was really cool. It's called Titanic Survivor by Violet Jessop. And it was signed by the author. By the editor. It's a hardcover. $60. So that's his top sale for the day. He ain't trying to get rich here. But here's the part that's interesting. Sold it to a Titanic expert named Hannah, who's 8 years old. That book will anchor her collection for 80 years. And you think about it, right? She's an 8-year-old who's a Titanic expert. Now, that partly appeals to me because at 8 years old, I was an Alamo expert. And some of you, especially dudes, if you'd met me when I was 8 and heard me start talking about the Alamo and how much that impressed adults, you'd be like, I'm going to punch that kid in the mouth the minute ain't nobody around. Davy Coggins, Jim. Oh, did you know? It was what I do now, except I was 8. So precocious little kid, right? Because I loved it and I got good feedback from it. If a child learns that they can get positive feedback by learning or leading or doing, they will do more of that until the point that they learn to enjoy doing that. That's why a childhood is so important. And that's why you can't leave it to the schools. Some schools do. Some teachers do. Some teachers spark that interest. But you can't leave it to the school. You have to do that yourself. You have to teach that yourself. So anyway, I said, well, get the kid and get her on the show. I want to talk to her. And he said, oh, she's in school. I said, Zach, I don't care if somebody's at a funeral. Get them out and put them on the air. So he gets the mom on the phone. And the mom says, we would love to do it, but she gets on the bus before 7 a.m. every day. He was thinking, wow, that's quite the day, this little. But she's got her books to keep her company. So by the time she gets to school, she's already read. I mean, think about that for a moment. All right, let's see who we got here. Is that Ben? Ben, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Ben. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Awesome. Hey, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my experience, if that's okay.
Sure.
I was loving your dialogue about what you were talking about people that, you know, didn't graduate high school or go to college and they started their own business. And that's exactly what happened to me. Is I grew up in a very abusive childhood. My parents were very abusive, but I'm losing my thought now. But as I started, holy crap, I lost my thought. I'm sorry.
Hello?
I'm sorry, Michael. I'm losing my thought.
It's okay. All right. I'm going to put you on hold and you ponder for a moment. But, Ben, let me ask you a question.
Sorry. Sure.
Were you worried we couldn't hear you when you called?
No, it wasn't that at all. It didn't do that little click thing that you always say that happens.
I got
you. You know, the little...
Okay, I'm genuinely curious because in my dream sequence, the way it's going to work is callers are going to work seamlessly through the show, right? And I am the conductor, and when I point to the brass, they're going to fire off, and then the woodwinds, and they're going to fire off, and then, you know, the three tenors are going to be over here, and when I point to them, they'll already be firing off. And so,
hello, I didn't hear the click either. I was just validating Ben.
You didn't hear the click? I wonder why you
didn't
hear
the click.
Okay, this is two times you called in 1 month.
By the way, yeah. Remember when Joyce and I hosted this show together?
Yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah, yeah, it's great.
I was just wondering if maybe I could get some of that.
Yeah. This is the second time you've asked to get cut in on Joyce's money. You know, I'm guessing that it'd be a dangerous place to be between Joyce and her money. I'm guessing that would be a very dangerous place indeed. No, the reason I ask this question is because when people get on the air and I'll say, Bob, you're on the air. They heard me say that. They go, can you hear me? Like, this is a really, you know, Dr. Livingston, I present. You got me. It's me. How do we get out of here? Okay, I probably watch too many true crime TV shows. I will admit it. Real true crime TV shows. And you'll find these situations where the cops or some rescuer comes in and the person's all tied up and they thought they were going to die and they're blindfolded and they hear the voice of the cop saying, please, please, anybody in here? It's me. Can you come and get me? As if they never expected to be found. And so what I don't understand is, and I'm not making fun, I'm genuinely curious how we can work through this. What impression have I given people that if you call up here, you can dial the numbers, 713-999-1000. You can do that. Just like you dial 25 numbers a day, every single day, to make an appointment, to get a reservation, to ask a question, check and see if somebody's there. You can do that. It's the same thing, and then you hit the green button for send. But once that happens, you are going into a labyrinth, a circuitous route that you will probably never find us nor emerge from. You will be in a subterranean, prehistoric maze that if you ever do, and occasionally you'll hear my voice, hello, Bob, you're on the line, but we won't be able to hear you. You'll be stuck down, way down beneath the surface of the earth, and no one will know where you are or rescue you or be able to hear you. Hey, 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 hey. Can y'all hear me up there, 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 there? We can hear you, Bob. We can hear you. We've made contact. I'm down here. Where's down here, Bob? You got to get us there. Well, there's these soot-filled walls, and it's really dark. Let me turn on the phone. Oh, my God, there's blood on the walls. They've written on the walls, save me, 1938. Oh, no, there's bones everywhere. What'll we do? Bob, stay right there. Ramon, see if you can trace the call. Bob, we can hear you. We can hear you. Just, oh, we can't hear you again. Oh, we've lost the feed. Stay there. Keep the phone to your ear. There's hope yet. I'm sending Chief Libby from the Oak Ridge North Police Department. He's on his way. Hey, it's up near the Woodlands. It'll be a while. Just stay right there. Don't move. We're going to see if we can get you on this radio program one way or another. It's a transatlantic call. We're plugging the... my grandmother's sister, so my great aunt, Aunt Ruby. Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010. I have a buddy named Ray Bryars, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it, rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe piles, sign poles, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE. Aunt Ruby worked for Southwestern Bell, and she worked at the time that you literally pulled it out and punched it in. Can you get me to KEB91? Okay, all right, KB. KB, you have a call. Okay, call connected. All right, go ahead. We got you, Bob. You're on this program. We've done it.
There's more to like on Facebook. Like The Michael Berry Show.
Fixing things, helping Metro, keeping pools open when they need to be opened. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to fix Medicare, but you cannot judge by means, because a rich person today, or a middle-income person, or someone who's had savings today, they may not have their savings by the end of the week.
Yeah.
Look at the people who've just had a fire.
Mama, I know we broke the rule.
Call us back, Mr. Boehner.
As you look, you will see a picture of Leader Pelosi and myself and my colleague from Alabama, Ms. Sewell.
Might I also add, Mr. Speaker, as a senior member of the Homeland Security Committee, all of us have watched some with intenseness of the Malaysian aircraft. With great disappointment and sadness, we are told, without all of the facts, not knowing what the recent announcements have been, that this aircraft, this airliner may be lost.
Thank you. Can I have some grape juice or soda or orange juice?
I'm offended. I'm hurt. Not that I have anything against Germany.
I got an email from a lady named Mary. She said, Czar, here's what I do. I'm a pastry chef. I've been self-employed for 5 years. I work from home making single serving sized rum liquor cakes in vanilla butter. These are the flavors from home. You pick your favorite, okay? Vanilla, these are rum slash liquor cakes, because I guess some of them aren't rum, okay? So you know it's a rum or liquor cake. And you pick of your flavor of your favorite flavors, okay? Vanilla butter, banana, chocolate, lemon. What just happened? You don't like lemon? Seriously? Well, pretend you do. Lemon? I love lemon. Amaretto? Oh, dear God. Are you trying to trigger me? And Almond Joy? You like Almond Joy, really? And Almond Joy, I guess, is Irish cream, amaretto, and Kahlua. See? That's right. I also make half-pound cookies. That's an 8-ounce cookie. That's 2 quarter-pounders in a cookie. I also make half-pound cookies as well as garlic herb parmesan bread.
Well, because you can't have just dessert.
And Italian cheese jalapeno bread. Have mercy. I bake every day during the week. And on Sunday evenings, I go to a winery in Grimes County, just west of Montgomery, and sell my products at their weekly cover band lawn concerts. I love what I do. It can be a bit monotonous. I'm baking by myself. I'd go crazy if I didn't have you to listen to. Every morning, I put in my Bluetooth earbuds. I have a daughter visiting who lived in California for too long, and I'd rather avoid the eye rolls. And I put you on to get me through my morning routine. I thoroughly enjoy the people you talk to, the subjects you cover, and the music Ramon puts on. And, of course, his bell dings. Keep up the great work you guys do in holding Harris County's feet to the fire and what you do for the good folks at Camp Hope. God bless you, Mary. So as I often do, I scolded her and said, well, why wouldn't you tell me the name of your company? And if you have a website, link it. Which, by the way, if you're listening to me now, I'll tell you a real quick story. When I left practicing law, everybody thought, I loved the law more than anybody I knew in law school. That's why I went off and did an LLM when nobody else did, when you didn't have to, because I wanted to study the law further. I loved it, loved everything about it. And everybody else was like, I just want to get a job and make a bunch of money, which it turns out it ain't that much money. But so when I started, I was the most gung-ho guy. When I left to start my own business because I realized I love studying the law, not practicing the law, and I didn't want to be in an office all day long, everybody was shocked. So I'd get calls. Michael, what are you doing now? Well, and I would describe this whole thing. I was buying and selling properties, and I had a brokerage firm. I had just started from scratch. I didn't have any agents yet. I didn't have an assistant. I didn't have anything. I was working out of our garage. And for a full year, I didn't tell anybody what I did. I told them I did something that I thought made it sound real fancy. And I had a buddy of mine from law school, Juan Cabrera, and he put in a contract on a house. And we were at the Metropolitan Racquet Club playing tennis. And he said, hey, we just put in an offer on a house in West U. And I said, who'd you use? He goes, some lady my wife tried. We didn't know anybody. I said, I'm a broker. And he said, what do you mean? Yeah, I'm a broker. But you don't do residential real estate deals. I said, yes, I do. And he said, dude, we've talked about what you do 10 times. You do something other than that. No, that's what I do. I am so sorry. Well, within a year, he got transferred out. I represented him selling that house. He gets transferred back. I represent him buying a house. He gets transferred again. I end up doing 3 or 4 deals for this guy. And that day, I realized, you know what? You're so insecure because your whole life you wanted to be a lawyer because you thought everybody had so much respect for lawyers. And when you started as a businessman, I didn't know anybody that was a businessman. I thought, well, people look down on them. They didn't go to law school. They're not, you know, top of the heap, top of the class. So I would describe what I did in a way that people who needed my services and could have made me a lot of money didn't hire me when they would have. So you know what I started telling people I do? I help people buy and sell houses. Because I was buying apartment complexes. I didn't need anybody to do that, right? There wasn't anybody that I was going to do that on my own. I didn't need retail public for that. Wherever I went, when I met somebody, I'm like, I help people buy and sell houses. My business just, my wife, what did you do differently? My business just took off, making a fortune. Couldn't believe how well we were doing. All I had to do was change what I did. So you should be your own, even if you're a one-man shop. Her business, by the way, is Rum Cakes and Sweet Bakes. And she's in Huntsville, and they do have a website. It's called Rum Cakes and Sweet Bakes. And if you go on that website, have mercy. You'll put on weight. Holy wow. God, it looks good. Hearings yesterday where the head of TikTok was dragged before Congress to answer questions about the spyware they embed in their software that your children and maybe you have on your phone. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist. In fact, I make a lot of our listeners angry because they read something, they forwarded it, and I won't forward it because it's been forwarded 50 times. And we have to keep it going. The only way we'll do it because I don't trust it. I was a little slower than some to come on board with this TikTok stuff as to the threat it is posing. I'm here to tell you, it's verifiable now. What is being put, what you're actually choosing to put on your own phone or your kids are choosing, what looks like harmless content, and if you follow the right accounts, that portion of what they've downloaded is harmless content. In much the same way that when the guy, the little ice cream man comes down the road in that raggedy ass truck, and your kids go, ah, ice cream man, right? And you're all excited. If he were to stop his truck and say to your six-year-old kid, hey, can I come in the house? Sometimes he may walk into the house with some ice cream for your kid, hand it to your kid. Your kid eats the ice cream, and the ice cream man turns around and leaves. In which case, no harm done, right? But you wouldn't let that happen. But your kid's going, I like ice cream, Dad. I like ice cream. This isn't about ice cream. It's not about the funny dance. It's not about the content of TikTok itself. It's about the capability you are giving them, which is a key to your front door of your phone, and literally every single thing that is on your phone. Oh, they wouldn't use... They have. That's just it. They've targeted journalists. Eventually, they'll get to you. You're just not important enough to them yet. But eventually, they'll get to you. You've been warned. It is real. It's not good. Fox News has a story that a couple of listeners have sent me from early this morning. Headline, NPR hit with massive layoffs, cancels four podcasts. The publicly funded news outlet cut 10% of its workforce, impacting... Impacting roughly 100 employees. And then there is the story. And the podcast that they've cut, I've never heard... Here we go. Louder Than a Riot, Rough Translation, Everyone and Their Mom, as well as Invisibilia. None of their radio shows have been canceled yet, but they've cut 10% of their business. So, for some reason, people are always surprised when media companies go through what other companies go through, which is the vagaries, the ups and downs of business cycles. It's no different from media companies. I'm not defending NPR. If every liberal, awful podcast and radio show at NPR went under, I wouldn't lose a moment of sleep. I don't wish that on them, but I wouldn't lose a moment of sleep over it. I don't think they should be publicly funded. And I don't think it's true that they don't take advertising, because if you listen or see on their television show anything they do, things are sponsored by the downtown in Houston. They're sponsored by the downtown law firms. You think that's not an advertisement because you don't call it an advertisement and it's presented by? That's bull. We all know that's bull. So they're getting a false advantage. But even they, who don't really have to make a profit, are suffering. But what we're really witnessing is, and I would encourage you to embrace this and not be afraid of it. What we're really witnessing is the warp speed of change that technology occasions. Things change faster today than they ever have before because technology accelerates those things. And not all of those things are bad. But whether all of those things are bad or good or indifferent, they're going to happen. The marketplace is going to make those changes. And to spend your time being depressed over that, which I talk to many people who are, there are good things to be angry over, but the fact that things are changing should not be a basis upon which you find yourself depressed. From my earliest days, I noticed that as people get older, many people become very cynical to the point of almost a clinical depression. And I think part of that is we start getting closer and closer to facing our mortality, and some people are not comfortable with that. We don't get notices of births anymore. We get notices of funerals. We don't get notices of people starting businesses, but closing businesses. It's the end of life. It's the backside. It's a different. I think you have to embrace that for what it is. But I say this because I notice that the media landscape is changing and will change. It will continue to change, and that's not going to change. The change is certain. If you think about when we got into radio, when I got into radio in 2005, if you didn't get on a radio station, you couldn't be heard. You couldn't just buy a basic piece of equipment and your phone and a microphone and start building audiences. It was impossible. There was technologically, it might have been possible. I don't know. But nobody did it. You had to be on a radio station, which gave all the power to a radio station. Likewise, if you wanted to make music and anybody hear it, the only thing you could do is you could go to a local joint and hope to build up an audience. And then as that loyal audience got bigger, you start getting that. And then you hoped a radio station would play your music. And you would build and you would build and you would build. But unless a label wanted to print your music and send it out, because you didn't even have the publishing companies yet. Eventually, all the artists ended up with their own publishing companies practically. We're going to see these changes again and again and again. But I submit we are in the heyday for the consumer. If you want to listen to my buddy Kenny Duncan Jr. has a podcast about gold and silver. He owns U.S. coins. By the way, gold got up over $2,000 yesterday. Wow. And he does a podcast just talking about running a coin and gold and silver shop. And that might not be your thing, but it's other. They're building quite an audience of it. You want to talk about sports playing cards? You want to talk about 65 Mustangs? You want to talk about shotguns? You want to talk about Cuban cigars? There is something for everybody. And when podcasts started, everybody I knew in radio was poo-pooing them. And I thought, are you afraid? Are you challenged? Because if the only thing that keeps you having a job is that you can prevent others from competing, you must not be very good at what you do. I have a buddy named Ray Breyers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.